Welcome back to World Beat. I am George Collins. This is our final segment with Dr. Nancy Anderson. If you are just pulling up a chair, might want to get caught up on the first three before we take off here, folks. But you have plenty of time to do that. That's part of the cool magic of the internet these days. So Dr. Anderson, I mean, we've covered a lot. There's a whole lot of things to dissect, and we've pitched some possible solutions, but the coronavirus pandemic is going to have ripple effects for generations, in a way that polio did, that I mean, the Spanish flu is always the kind of cliche comparison, but you can go back to any number of adverse health events throughout the world, whether it's bubonic plague, the Justinian plague, I think is a relevant comparison. And I mean, just looking ahead, what do you think some of the impacts, I mean, good or bad, are going to be from COVID? Whether that is, you know, we've all been isolated for a long time, especially in the beginning. It seems to me that has caused people to reevaluate this sense of community that you've talked about and maybe give more credence to it. What do you think are going to be the big cultural shifts, whether that be in healthcare or otherwise, that we're going to see in the decades to come?
Well, I'm going to start by saying I'm humble in terms of my capacity to be a fortune teller here. And there's lots of uncertainty.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's crystal ball is crystal clear.
No. But I do think that if we allow coronavirus and the pandemic to be a book that we really read, that we learn something from, if we let it teach us about what equity means, if we let it teach us that in our country, that community connection is important, if we don't allow some of the people in political power here to completely destroy the populations of their states, we could certainly actually start to redesign our health system and our health care system in ways that are better for all of us. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. You know, George, it kind of depends on the day you talk to me. So today, and really, I'm going to make an effort and say that I hope that we begin to recognize that globalization isn't just or even primarily about materials. Globalization has to do with making sure that everybody gets what they need to be healthy. If that doesn't happen with the kind of pandemic this is, I mean, then we're going to be in this kind of steady state of instability long term. Because if the majority, the great majority of humanity do not have access, it will just keep going a very long time. If we take advantage of the opportunities, I mean, in the micro level, people are taking advantage of the opportunity to think about what it means to work and how much they want to work away from their families, whether they really want to spend more time with their families. If they're lucky enough to have a job and a house and the resources to have those kinds of thoughts. If they are not, then in fact, they are in a situation, and really people of color, poor people of every ethnicity are in a position where they can't take time off from work, where it's really hard for them to spend more time with their families because they are janitors in hospitals. They are nurses' aides. They are, you know, working in grocery stores, and they have to go to work. So if we can take advantage of recognizing and understanding those differences and trying to close them, this can be an opportunity, or it can just be a catastrophe in slow motion. And I honestly don't know which direction we're going to go in.
Well, I certainly hope and pray for the former, for obvious reasons.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, I mean, I think with these these kinds of like giant pile driver events like this, I mean, there's got to be at least some reckoning somewhere. So I certainly have optimism, and I just hope that's not my youthful naivete.
No, I don't think it necessarily is. I think it's more like if we don't know the future, and I'm not sure what direction it's going in. And I know looking back on January 2020, that some of the things that I thought were going to happen didn't. So, yeah, we're just going to have to see.
I suppose so. Well, Dr. Anderson, you've been very generous with your time today, and thank you very much for joining us. Real quick, just as a parting question, if you would be willing to speak about these past research projects you did, one on traditional healers in Senegal, and then another on barriers that women of color continue to experience entering the midwifery profession. Talk real briefly, I mean, what were these projects and what were some of the results you found?
The project that I did with traditional healers was really sponsored by a traditional healer international organization with representation all over Africa called Prometra. And their goal is really to integrate traditional healing into the sort of less traditional or more commonly thought of as Western healing methods for the benefit of humanity, for the benefit of the populations. And they had carried out a really interesting project looking at community leadership and trying to understand why they would or would not decide to get involved in vaccine campaigns. And I would say the thing that I realized, the sort of take home to me, was that in fact, the community leaders were generally very willing to support what we would call vaccination. If we, meaning all the people who come into smaller rural communities in Senegal, are willing to see that there's more to immunization or protection against illness than just vaccines. That things that we were just talking about, food, access to money, access to employment, all of the, and traditional behaviors, and traditional culture, all of these things are a part of what they would call immunization. So that to me was the real take-home message. So essentially it was our own narrow-mindedness, not theirs, that was an issue. And then I would just say that obviously there are real maternal infant health needs in the United States, that in most of the world, midwifery is incredibly important in making sure that those pregnancy, labor, and delivery and infant health needs are met. Not so in the United States. And it's been very hard for women of color to enter the midwifery profession, despite the fact that, essentially up until the mid-1800s, African-American women were major midwives for everybody. Despite that, little by little, the same midwives who were so important, particularly in the African-American community, were closed out of involvement in everyday healthcare and in the major healthcare structures. And there are real issues for women of color, African-American women, to enter the profession. And there are barriers to it, kind of like what we were talking about, how there are barriers for Black people to enter any of the health professions. That is definitely true for midwifery. And there have been some real changes and efforts to make sure that African-American communities and communities of color get more access to that profession. Obviously, there's a real unmet need in communities of color to get good maternity care.
Dr. Nancy Anderson, thank you very much for joining us. Retired associate professor in the Department of Midwifery at Bastyr University. Thank you so much for your time today. And this has been World Beat with George Collins on the UnGag Network. We'll catch you next time.
Oh yeah, baby. I'm from the nowhere land. Ooh, yeah. I was supposed to be a nowhere man. Ooh, yeah. But in my mind, I saw a greater plan. So now I'm walking down the path with the untouched sand. I caught the midnight express. Yeah. I will not be your pawn, no chess. Tell me, what did you expect? I became a diamond from the way I'm getting pressed. I'm round, round town with the windows down. Bumping me while people telling me they loving the sound. How long will it take to make my city proud? I know I'm loud, but I'ma be the biggest one to get out. Keep my eye out, I watch the whole world from the cloud. I might move to the floor if I need to get down. Guest pass to the shore for your friend if she need. You can keep my sweatshirt, you know I got it for free. What's that sound? Oh, the team is downstairs. Someone always working, ain't no slouching in here. You either working on your craft or you wasting my time. Cause I ain't been here long enough to get off my grind. I'm always on the climb, but I still ain't reached the peak. Looking at my future as some golden teeth. Running marathons with my mile-long receipts. At the rate I'm getting money, you would think it's a disease. I'm from the nowhere land. I was supposed to be a nowhere man. But in my mind, I saw a greater plan. So now I'm walking down the path with the untouched sand. I caught the midnight express. I will not be your pawn, no chess. Tell me, what did you expect? I became a diamond from the way I'm getting pressed. Elevating my balls, now I'm floating with the stars. Tell me you never thought I would take it this far. Now I'm spitting big guns like I'm Big Pun. It's time to get paid, a Lambo in the driveway. Obey what I say, you'll be okay. A lot of dudes salty like they obey. It's always sunny on my side, except for when the clouds roll in and it don't shine. I be chilling in the shade in the nighttime. I arrive in style at the right time. But I'm dipping in a minute, got a fight crime. Hold it down for my guys, that's my slime. I'm evolving again. Every time I step in, I'm calling a win. Don't call on a whim if you wantin' to get real saucy again. Don't start with the I'm from the nowhere land. I was supposed to be a nowhere man. But in my mind I saw a greater plan. So now I'm walking down the path with the untouched sand. I caught the midnight express. I will not be your pawn, no chess. Tell me, what did you expect? I became a diamond from the way I'm getting pressed.